Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, I've missed you.
I
apologize. I've been out of pocket for a couple of weeks, dealing with some health issues, but everything is on the up and up.
Oh, that's good.
So let's talk about what's happened in that time. This past Saturday, Ole Miss had a bye week, but their quarterback decided he wanted to play a little football.
So he's just not a good decision maker. Thank God somebody saw him before he got on the field and got in trouble for fighting with minors.
Yeah.
And then he would have had no helmet on, so he could have got hurt. Somebody probably blindsided him. It all could have been bad, but nobody ever really has forethought capabilities when they are upset and in their emotions.
Right, and so, that's where I took it. For anybody that doesn't know what happened, Chad Kelly's brother is the starter on the high school football team, Chad Kelly's high school back in New York. Don't ask me to name the name of it. I could have told you yesterday, but I can't tell you this morning. But anyway, they're playing a football game. Chad Kelly's there on the sidelines watching his brother play. Brother goes running out of bounds. Has a late hit, a fight breaks out, because obviously this is their high school's rival team. Big fight breaks out. Chad Kelly decides he's going to run across the field to get in the middle of the fracas. He is stopped, thank God, by some people and kind of pushed away before he could actually get himself involved in any manner. So, yeah. I say in the emotional, like you said with the emotions thing, I think had that been my little brother, I probably would have, you know, in the heat of the moment, if I'd have been down there on the field, I probably, you know, would have thought about doing something. But at the same time, my brother is 6'4", 245 pounds. He didn't really need me if something like that had broke out.
But it wasn't like his teammates weren't helping him. Like, they were just over the jump. Like, the way they sound, the article sound like there was a brawl. So the teammates jumped in.
Yeah, and if you see the video, I mean, it's really all the kids. The kids, and there was no outside interference involved. It was just, you know, a bunch of kids. And I felt bad for Chad Kelly's brother because he was on the bottom of all this. I mean, it was basically going on all around him while he's laying on the ground.
Well, if it was a pile, then he might have been in the safest spot.
True.
Besides people kicking you, but he would have had on padding and all that. But, yeah.
Right. Very true. Just,
get down there and curl up and hope and just wait for the weight to get off of you. Then you know it's over.
It's going on to our Florida Gator news. That game versus LSU had been postponed due to Hurricane Matthew. They're trying to find another date to play it. Joe Oliva, AD at LSU, basically threw Florida under the bus. Are making people believe that Florida basically turned down an invitation to come to LSU and play the game.
Which, who wouldn't turn down? You don't invite me to your house when I'm hosting Thanksgiving.
I agree.
And why would we want to come to your house and give you the home court, home field advantage? None of our fans that might be able to travel wouldn't, because most of them was in probably some of this Hurricane Matthew. And so, I mean, why would we come there? We would have about 10 fans and just the people on the sideline.
Yeah, because all your fans right now are more concerned with saving their livelihood than a football game.
Right.
So,
Our players.
Right.
Yeah, some of them would have been okay with, you know, having that little minute of not thinking about what's happening with their families. But a lot of them kids are from Florida, so they're concerned about their families. Get out of your emotions.
Yeah, I think Joe Oliva is really just trying to save his job at this point because he's made some suspect decisions over the last probably decade of being in charge.
Should have fired, what's his name last year, and all this other stuff while you playing around. If you was going to fire him, not in the middle of the season. And don't be thinking, I don't know what you think. We going to come to your gym and play. I don't even know what life you would think that would ever happen. And it's our home game.
Right. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see because obviously they're going to have to replay. They're going to have to play this game at some point. You know, it's just a matter of finding the right date to do it because I think it really is going to have implications. Maybe not so much for the West, but the SEC East. This game is going to wind up mattering at the end of the year. So we'll see where they go with that. In NFL news, our 49ers have had a rough start to the year after winning their first opening game against LA. They've stumbled a couple times the last couple weeks. They are making a quarterback change. After the fans literally were screaming, "We want Colin," last week, with Blaine Gabbert continuing to struggle, Colin Kaepernick will make his first start this year. And Chip Kelly calls it a football decision. Well, clearly, Chip, we know that you're not going to, you know, succumb to the pressure of playing the man just because he's a national icon right now, always in the news with his national anthem protest. I honestly think this is going to help us. If he is healthy, which they say he is, he's the healthiest he's been in a couple years, I think that he will do well in this offense. That's the kind of offense that he ran in Nevada where he did so well. I think this is the offense for him.
He's going to be rusty. So
yeah.
He ain't played in a year. So I ain't expecting too much first game. He can't be work as bad as that Gallup boy because I watched us play the Eagles? Last Sunday, whoever we played, he was terrible. When he hit, his balls was nice and crisp. But all the misses that he had, they were terrible. Like, they weren't even close.
Right.
And he can run well enough, but he's not going to be like when Colin get out there and start running in open field. Because it was a couple times he had just wide open field. I think Colin would have got a couple of more yards just because of how fast he is. But anywho, We're just not good.
Well, defense, no. Not good. No, we're not. But I think the most beneficiaries out of Colin Kaepernick starting will be Torrey Smith and people like Quentin Patton, another receiver from Louisiana Tech. I think they will benefit greatly from him because they'll be able to do what they do best and get downfield. He has a much stronger arm than Gabbert. I think offensively, we should be able to open things up.
Long as he'll throw over the door, but yeah, his ball, deep ball better. Gavin had somebody open deep. I mean, it would have scored too because wasn't no safety, nothing. And he just overthrew him by like 10 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, what the world?
Oh, man.
What in the world? Anyway.
Moving over to the East Coast. Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a picture that has surfaced of Cam Newton, who's still under the concussion protocol, riding around in Charlotte traffic on a Segway-type scooter without any kind of safety helmet or anything. This was a bad decision on his part. He made ESPN all day long, so I guess, you know, for his brand, hey, any publicity is good publicity.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
There you go.
So, all I have to say about him and anybody else that rides around on devices, motorcycles, or whatever, with no helmet, if you have an accident, like most of you just selfish.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, he have an accident, bus messed up your little head. Now you don't play football no more. And you're a vegetable or something. Somebody else got to take care of you.
Yeah, so not only are you hurting yourself, you are burdening others.
Right, now you become a... And nobody's going to call you a burden, but it's an unnecessary risk.
Yeah.
And did you learn nothing from, what's his name that played in the NBA on the motorcycle?
Jay Williams, yes.
Did we learn nothing from him having an accident?
And Bobby Hurley before him.
So, yeah. So, hey, didn't he just have a car accident? A bad car accident?
Yeah, he did.
So, maybe you should be a little more cautious than the next man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, let somebody else drive.
He ain't the brightest, so whatever.
No, and you know, and I think the way he was dressed, you know, he's got his little hat on that he always wears little different hats at his press conferences. He was looking for attention.
He ain't the brightest.
No. Just speaking of not so bright, Greg Hardy.
Hello.
has begun training for the MMA. And is projected to debut sometime in 2017 as a heavyweight. Okay, well now he can beat up on people legally.
In his size.
Yeah.
And the same just sex.
Yeah, same gender, same size, and it's all legal. So he ought to be very good at this.
No, he not. Cause when one of them hit him, he gonna be like, "Whoa, this is not what I was expecting."
Yeah, but he's not that he had a prayer anyway, but this officially ruins any chance of him ever getting back in the NFL. I think he was pretty much done in the way he done figured that out, so.
I never saw that coming, because I just watched some MMA stuff, and it's brutal.
Yeah, they get nasty. They get nasty. And luckily some of the fights don't last that long. It's really like boom, boom, done.
So while you got a helmet on and all that and hitting people, yeah, that's tough. But when you just hitting people with pretty much bare knuckles, I heard them gloves ain't that much
right.
Protection or cushioning. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Do you have a chant and ranting for this week?
I was going to chant a rant about the ignorant LSU fans that would have the audacity to think that we would come to your gym and play our home game and potentially ruin our chances of winning the SEC East. So Tennessee, they're going to lose to Alabama. Now, I don't really know how that works since both of the teams they would have lost to is in the West. They could upset Alabama because Alabama, man, we don't really know how good they are yet. Ole Miss collapsed in that game. I don't know that they've been challenged in another game. But yes, that was one of my rant and chants. I had wanted to rant about something else happened. I thought you was ranting about something too. You sent me a text.
Yes, I'm looking through our text message now because I couldn't remember what it was.
You had to rant about something.
Oh yeah, I know what I'm ranting about. Yes, Apple.
Oh, your phone people, that's
yes,
right.
Yes. So another reason TNI are so late on getting this podcast is the fact that I was without a phone for a couple of days early last week. It seems to always happen this way. You know, just recently the iPhone 7 was released. And every time a new iPhone, Apple comes out with its latest invention, and all their older inventions just somehow just stop working. Yeah. And I wasn't finna let them get me at the phone store. It wasn't finna happen. And I told them, I said, no, I'm gonna stick with the phone I have. I'm not upgrading to that because y'all gonna try to make me sign another contract and pay some outrageous fee to get out the contract I'm in. No, I am staying with my phone. You gonna get me a phone that works, and Apple ain't gonna, I'm not gonna, Apple ain't gonna make me do it. I will switch to Samsung. Apple better quit.
Well, no, they blowing up, so I don't know who works.
Yeah, see, and that's the problem. You can't even switch to Samsung because they sitting there blowing up in your pocket and causing fires. You know, just blowing up on planes and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I want to chant and rant about. Little Apple, y'all need to stop. I know y'all doing this on purpose. This is all a money-making scheme. Y'all want these new iPhones to hit and pop. They're going to hit and pop because there's ignorant people out there that will buy it on the first day, just like those folks that will stand in line for hours for a pair of Jordans. Yeah, there's folks out there that will do it. And yeah, so y'all going to get your money. You ain't going to get mine. Because I'm, no, no.
Well, that's what you get for falling into under the apple tree. That's what you get. Anybody that'll try to sell me a phone that don't work, a watch that doesn't work when my phone is not with me or if my phone dies, that's ludicrous. Because the watch that I have on my own right now works whether my phone works or not. And I know Apple could have made that happen. They ought to be shamed. At the least, the phone, I understand if the phone, you couldn't do all the apps, but it still should be able to keep time.
Right.
That's just ludicrous.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all.
So, y'all Apple fans, keep enjoying loving Apple and letting them take y'all money. Y'all better get on somebody else's team.
Now, I'm going to go back to the flip phone like my grandmother and my father.
And so I'm saying. I'm sad, BlackBerry. I need to chant and rant about that. I'm sad because BlackBerry not making any more BlackBerries. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm just T finally joined the smartphone world. And then they're going to discontinue
first of all, my brand. Let's be clear. My phone is as smart as yours. And my phone haven't broke down for days on end like Mr. Your super smart phone. My phone has been, it can take a lick and keep on ticking. I all dropped it. The face ain't shattered all up. I ain't got to have no special casing. So if it break, that's unacceptable. Again, you sell me this $700 phone. I drop it one time. The face shattered all up. And now I can't even hardly see none of the pictures.
I'm cutting your fingers all up trying to do something.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Thank you while you're talking bad about my smartphone.
Oh, goodness. Well, that was chanting and ranting for this week. People are enjoying that segment, by the way. People I spoke with, they really enjoy it. And we get a lot of comments online about it.
Well, they're going to join in on this Apple rant, I'm sure. So that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure there's many people affected by that. But let's jump into Empire. We have 2 weeks to cover. So I'm going to just
gonna... ain't seen it. You're going to have to go on your own.
Yeah. Well, I got 2 weeks to cover for everyone. So yeah, I'm sure by now you've all seen both episodes, and that's fine. The latest will come out tonight. This season, season two kind of drug on for me a little bit, and I know at one point when we were discussing it, T even said she was thinking about getting off the Empire train. But season three has really done it for me. That it's doing a really good job. So let's just jump right into it. 2 weeks ago, season 3, episode 2, Sin That Amends. I looked it up and did not have a clue. This is how good and how much, you know, older this girl has gotten. Sierra McClain, that plays Nessa. I did not realize that was Jasmine from House of Pain. All grown up. Didn't even realize it was her. Didn't realize that House of Pain has been off TV that long. Because she is no longer a little girl. So anyway, yeah. So I just want to throw that out there. Becky's back. You know, Precious. Her and Jay Papa, her boy toy, having a conversation. He tells her that his contract is coming up and he's talking about leaving Empire and wants her to come with him. She doesn't want to leave because she believes Cookie and Lucius will eventually promote her to the A&R position. And she, you know, she has a loyalty to the Lions because she's been with them when, you know, they brought her in when she had nobody, you know, all this good stuff. We don't really get a backstory on her. We just get her words for it. she's really timid when she brings up the A&R position to Cookie. And, of course, Cookie, you know, does her best at blowing her off. If I was her, I'd go ahead. Let them know that she has other opportunities. Give them a reason to make a decision either way. So that's, you know, so that she'll know whether she truly cared about there. But I think right now they got a lot of stuff going on. They ain't really thinking about Becky. So poor Becky. Lucius spends this whole episode trying to win Cookie back. Giving her gifts every time she turns around.
Hold on, I thought he was married.
He is.
Go ahead.
It's a sham marriage, and everybody knows it. And
well, yeah.
Yeah. A special guest spot from Biz Markie. You know, you say he just a friend. Yeah. So that.
Oh, baby, you got what I need.
Before I continue, I have to say, at that point, when he comes, they wake Cookie up. You know, she hears all kind of racket in her living room. She busts through her doors out of her bedroom in the morning, and, you know, he just starts to singing. And she gets all excited. She's all in his face, hugging him, kissing him and everything. She ain't brush her teeth before she did all that. Just gonna put that out there. So anyway, there was a ton of flashbacks in this episode between Cookie and Lucius back in the day. Basically, it shows that Cookie left had a boyfriend, left him, and he, you know, he's kind of on the right path, kind of dude named Barry for Lucius. She actually was gonna go to an Ivy League school. You know, it was brought up in the flashback. You know, she had aspirations of going to Ivy League school, and basically dropped it all for Lucius, and, you know, living in the street life.
Street life is the only life I know. I'm sorry.
Councilman Angelo Dubois, played by Tay Diggs, comes in and forms a partnership with Jamal to help youth from the inner city. Oh, I can't wait to talk about inner city later on when we talk about the presidential debate. But anyway, moving on. Initially, Cookie is defensive against Angelo. But you can tell by the end of the episode that Cookie and Angelo are going to have a thing. And Lucius... Lucius does not like it at all. Anika and Lucius find the bug in the teddy bear that we mentioned last week or last episode.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, they found it so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. The episode ends with Andre going to move stuff out of Rhonda's old place. Police roll up on him and, you know, start stereotypically questioning him. And eventually Andre is taken down by the police. And a very PG version of a takedown and basically what is going on in our society today.
Oh, he got shot.
Question. First of all, it shows the neighbor lady, white lady, older lady. Uh-huh. Basically, it alludes to her being the one to call the police on Andre. First of all, why does Rhonda have her own place? Aren't they married?
Well, that's, yeah.
Or weren't they? Excuse me. She's past tense now. But aren't they married?
Sam, so, I don't know.
Yeah, and wouldn't, if he was married to her, obviously he'd been around, why wouldn't the neighbor lady know him? Holes in the store. Well, I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to
After all that went down, that's what it was.
I mean, I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to, you know, to make it relevant to today's time and, you know, and what's going on in the news. Let's move on to the next episode, episode 3. Andre, let out of jail on bond, confronted by reporters, one asking, "Your family has a history of breaking the law. Are you now, you a thug now too?" He turns, starts to fire back, but has another vision of Rhonda in the background, and that stops him. Yeah. You know. I like that she's still around. I was wondering why they haven't had a funeral for her yet, but now I get it, because she's going to continue to come back in flashbacks, so they don't want to confuse people. Yeah. Lucius and Cookie want him to go after the police that assaulted him, but he doesn't want to. Comes up with all kind of excuses. Basically, you know, saying, you know, he gave the cop attitude, which he kind of did, but still, it wasn't enough. I mean, he basically just asking why the cop was harassing him, basically. But at the court hearing, Andre is charged with trespassing and an added charge of assault of an officer. The assault part obviously throws him off, and everybody in the courtroom, you know, kind of thrown for a loop. His lawyer wants him to cut a deal, but Andre's not trying to hear any of that, which I don't blame him. Because you cut a deal, you know, that's the quickest way to get your record.
My daddy won't let me out, no, they won't let me out.
Jamal meets with a support group for PTSD victims, and everybody in the room basically knows who he was and what happened to him because he's a celebrity, which causes an issue with him sharing any of his information. Mariah Carey is in the house playing the part of Kitty. Wants Jamal to record a song with her, and you know she's getting ready to go on a tour of South America, and wants the song to be part of the tour. Jamal initially turns her down, but Cookie talks him into it. Jamal gets Kitty to agree to do a duet and live stream the recording session for the Empire Extreme streaming service. That's a lot of streams in there. I didn't realize that until I'm reading my notes now. But anyway, he goes to visits Frida Gatz in jail. She's all happy to see him, but he keeps having flashbacks of the shooting and eventually calls for the police to come get her, take her away. So they didn't really get too far into their conversation before all that happened. So Jamal and Kitty recording session finally happens. It starts off rocky, doesn't look like Jamal's gonna make it, but then, you know, bing, bang, boom, he sounds like his old self again, and Mariah still has her voice. One question I have about her, and this also was brought up to me by a friend of the podcast, Sean Goff, we both had wondered why Mariah didn't have no clothes on. She's out there at this recording session in some kind of black bedazzled leotard, like she was some kind of gymnast or something. And that's all she had on. As I was flipping through the channels after the episode, I found a preview for her reality show. Did not know she was getting one, but she has a reality show coming out, basically Life of Mariah or whatever it's called, on the E! Network. And in the promo for that, she has on the same black bedazzled leotard and basically admits that, you know, this might be weird for other people, but this is how I dress. This is how I dress when I'm just around the house or if I'm going somewhere. This is just how I do things. Okay, well, you do you, Mariah. I'm going to do me. moving on, Little Romeo's character, Graham, performs a duet with Tiana. Apparently they're an item. We didn't know this. They basically tell you this in the episode. They finished the performance by kissing. Definitely causes a problem for Hakeem, which basically...
Hakeem, but sit down. You didn't want her. Go ahead.
You didn't want her. It's jealousy at its finest. You didn't want her. You literally just 10 days ago were jilted at the altar by somebody else.
What?
And expect her to just fall in line because you ready to go back with her? I imagine... these two will be at it all season, that being Hakeem and Graham. Lucius talks Hakeem into doing a diss track on Graham. Shine, which is Exhibit's character, is working on the diss track with him. They want Nessa to be involved, because obviously you have Graham and Tiana, and then it would be Hakeem and Nessa. Nessa don't want to be a part of it, because it really isn't what she's about, obviously. She don't want to start her career off, you know, with some drama on... with another girl, a female artist, especially in the same label. Shine forces Nessa into the booth, basically grabs her by the throat, not really giving her a choice. Hakeem yells for him to stop. Exhibit got really abusive since his Pimp My Ride days. Hakeem tells Lucius about what happened. Lucius basically tells him, you know, stop snitching. If you're not having sex with her, it ain't your fight. Go record the record. Hakeem lays down a very inspired diss track that he and Lucius and Shine wind up loving. Instead of using Nessa, Hakeem used Tiana's vocals from her and Graham's song I don't even think it was for that song. I think it was just vocals of her and other music. basically he's allowed to do it because it's Empire. They're allowed to use other Empire artists. The episode ends when Andre confronted by Tariq. Tariq subtly lets, now Tariq being his uncle, you know, half brother Lucius, FBI agent. Tariq subtly lets him know that the extra charges that were brought up on him were basically Tariq's doing. He wants Andre to snitch on Lucius in order to get the charges dropped. Like I said earlier, this season is going to be good. All the things we discussed here, plus Angelo, Tay Diggs' character versus Lucius over Cookie, Lucius and Anika's fake marriage. Basically, Anika is holding him hostage right now. Basically saying, you know, she has a lot of leeway in doing whatever she wants to do. You know, you're not going to trap her in this house because, you know, if she wants to, she can bring this whole thing down. Because really, she could. She could go in and tell everybody all the secrets. And we cannot forget about Mama Walker. She's still kicking. And as long as she's got knives, she's a problem. So, yeah, I can't wait for tonight's episode. It's going to be interesting. So, anyway, yeah, that was the Empire review for this week. Now let's move on real quickly to basically just a quick review of the first two presidential debates. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. First debate was the worst thing I think I've ever seen on TV. Yeah, Donald spent the whole time, you know, basically just in defense mode. You know, he didn't really stick to the issues. Basically gave Hillary a lot of ammunition. He lost the debate on his own. He had every chance coming into that debate to actually put a little ground between him and Hillary, and wound up going the other way. Debate number two. Let's just finish off debate number one, just because I want to get to the day after Hillary's rally. Hillary has no clout at all. She don't know how to celebrate this whole thing. First of all, she just got through having pneumonia, correct? So she has pneumonia. Yeah, she had pneumonia. Just gotten over a bout of it. So her first rally after winning, you know, quote unquote, winning the first debate, she comes out to James Brown's song, Oh My God, I Feel Good. You know. So she
I feel good.
Yes.
I know that I would not.
She comes up
I
to that.
I feel good.
And all I could think about.
Baby. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All I could think was, she's horrible. Does she not realize that's what James Brown died of, pneumonia? And that's how you.
Well, she probably didn't pick that song, so.
Yeah, she felt good, though. Okay, and.
Did you get your take this morning?
I did, yeah.
She didn't get her. That's why she called.
They've been in and out because I didn't get one a couple of days ago, and then a couple of days before that, I didn't get one.
I've been sending them, y'all.
I don't know. But yeah.
Damn, go ahead.
So the second presidential debate comes the day after a recording surfaced from 11 years ago where Donald Trump and NBC correspondent Billy Bush basically sitting in a van. And they're off camera, off air, but the mic is still hot. Basically talking about women and how he goes about, you know, getting women. Donald, that is. And how, you know, because he's a celebrity, women will let you do anything to him. He uses a bunch of vulgar terms that I'm not going to use on this podcast. But what he grabs when it comes to women, and when he goes in to kiss them and things like that, and basically he grabs their genitalia area. So the second debate was basically brought down before it even started, because that's what they focused on. He tried to defend himself. His apology that he issued before the debate was, I thought, rehearsed and very, I didn't think it was very official. I didn't think he was very meant, you know, it wasn't heartfelt at all. I think he was just This is what they told me to say, so I'm gonna say it. Yeah, this is a waste of time to do, even do the rest of this presidential campaign. Because either way, whoever wins, we're gonna be in trouble. But I don't think Donald has a prayer of winning now. In fact, I love Saturday Night Live this past week. Their opening monologue, you know, they bring up the recordings. They have Alec Baldwin playing Trump, talking to the news reporter about the recordings. And then they go, let's go live to Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters for their reaction. And it's a girl that's dressed up like Hillary, and they're having a party. They're drinking champagne and they're dancing because they know they got this wrapped up.
Let me just say this. And about, I may not even be on Earth, and about, I'm safe. I might still be on Earth, Lord will. By 2025, when something like that, Trump's gonna write a book and tell how him and the Clintons were in cahoots to get her into this presidency.
Yes.
This man is not, I don't think he ever really wanted to be the president. I think he was a mold put into the Republican Party just to kind of mess up, shake things up over there. Then Republicans was dumb and then let it happen. Because I kept saying the Republicans are not going to let this man become their candidate. Like, they have got to be smarter than this. But apparently they're not.
Yeah.
And so now they plan is working. Because why all of a sudden these audio of him and his bad language and how he talk about women come out of the blue? Because these could have came out at any point, like before or now,
right,
to keep him from being the Republican candidate.
Yeah.
But now that it's like, oh, wait a minute, he might win. We got to come up with something else to keep him from winning.
Yeah, he's too close. He's too close.
Right. We got to do something else to keep him from winning. And now this. Because, you know, it was always to talk about him and the Clintons, how he was at the wedding or whatever and all this other stuff. So, this is going to be the biggest coup of how to win the presidency in a couple of years when they write a book about it.
Yeah. And
that's
gonna,
my story and I'm sticking to.
There's going
to
be a movie. There's going to be a movie out. There's going to be a TV series made on it. It's going to come out. Yeah, it's going to be big.
Can't you see this being like a scandal episode?
Oh, yeah.
Of how?
Yeah.
Like, how Fitz got in with that craziness, then how Hillary got in, they obviously give her another name. And then they'll show how they had this evil plan all along to put somebody in the other person's party that really wasn't trying to win. Because now then they say he's talking bad about Ryan, the Speaker of the House, and he kind of just blowing up, and he out of control. Y'all can't control him now. Y'all let him in. And now he's just running around the house doing what he want to do.
Yeah, so yeah,
right.
It'll be interesting to see years down the line. Hopefully we still have a world to the book can be written.
Well, the good news is, as bad as everybody always think president's going to be, they all run by the same 1%. Okay, so really the bottom line is the 1% will still be happy when it's all said and done. They'll get what they want. Some of the things they might not, and they'll complain about.
Right.
But the rest of us just have to make ends meet and pray and stay on our knees because really all these people, they function and they get their money off of the 1%. And all the lobbyists be like, okay, we give you money, but when our stuff come up, we want you to push it through. And that's how it's always worked.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to continue to work.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. As much as they want to complain about this president, their president, it's,
they all work the same way.
Yes.
Some of them, at the end of it all, we see how bad their decisions were, i.e. Clinton, with this three-strike policy, and if you get a felony, you can't be ever get government assistance, and then he comes back like, oh, well, he didn't, obviously you didn't foresee that, but you were only worried about one thing, what Alec or whoever else told you, and said you pushed it through because that's the thing, to be tough on drugs or tough on criminals. And so you went with it without thinking it through.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in November because we're still weeks away from the election happening.
Yeah, the interesting thing will be is what happens when the fallout, what's going to be the fallout for people when somebody's not happy about the candidate and all this other stuff. How are people going to act? Are they going to act a fool or just keep it rolling? Because some people just don't want her to be the president because she's a woman. Bottom line, point blank. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is going to be interesting to see where it goes. But I think that's going to put a wrap on today's episode. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T. Davis, Dr. T. Davis. And we are going to talk about Atlanta next week.
Ooh,
I can't wait. Because they have a new TV show called Atlanta on Fox.
Can't wait.
Stay tuned.
Yes. And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.